Welcome back to another edition of the Soccer Specialist Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. I know it has been a while since we had an episode be out and try and get back on track now. There's been a lot of things going on here at the end of the year, but we are ready to get into it again. I wanted to try and get to a few different things here. I don't want this first one to be too long, but I did not want it to go any longer since there's been another episode. So I did want to just kind of a few thoughts I had rattled on I wanted to get to, and we'll see how this goes. First, I thought this was interesting, and this is something I'd seen actually a while ago. This is kind of an older quote, but I just thought it was really interesting when I saw it and was reminded of it. And it's something that Nick Saban, Alabama football coach, had said about young athletes, that they have this illusion of choice, like they can do whatever they want to do. They have the illusion that they have all these choices. But as according to Saban, you know, the fact of the matter is, if you want to be good, you really don't have a lot of choices, because it takes what it takes. You have to do what you have to do to be successful. So you have to make choices and decisions to have the discipline and focus to the process of what you need to do to accomplish your goals. And I think that is so true. And it's not, to be fair to you listen as athletes, it's not really your fault as young athletes, because you don't know, you don't understand, you don't know what it takes, because you've never experienced going through that. And that's part of the job of parents and coaches, to help guide you and understand you. And I know it's under, so that you understand what it does take. And I know it can be very difficult at times with that relationship, because it's very difficult to understand what that line is to helping and guide you to understand what you need to do to reach your goals without going over that line to the point where it becomes too much pushing, to put you into a negative mindset, to where maybe you kind of start pulling back from the sport because there isn't any enjoyment anymore because of the way you're being pushed. So I understand it's really difficult. It's really difficult, but unfortunately, it's just one of those things as coaches, parents, and players that we kind of have to feel our way through, which is also why communication is so important between you and your parents, between you and your coaches, so that you are on the same page, right? And because this is something I've witnessed many times with players, and players, they don't align their expectations with their actions. You know, they may have goals such as, you know, maybe they're on the B team or the C team and they want to play on the A team, or they're on the A team and they want to help, you know, the team, including them, they want to play in a certain league, or maybe you want to go play in college, or even just be a varsity starter as a sophomore in high school. But then your actions are, you only go to team practices. And that may just be because that's what you see everyone else do. Your parent or coach hasn't explained to you the process of other things that you, that may, avenues that may be open to you to help you get better. So there may be players who are doing that because they don't want to really do anything else. Maybe deep down their goal isn't their goal. And there's also players who are doing that because they don't know any better, and they think that that's what's going to get them there. And it's our job as the adults to kind of help them on that journey. And, you know, this causes some players to quit, including players who, it's not so much that they don't like the sport, or they don't want to do what they need to do. They don't want to do what it takes to get there, is that they may actually be willing to do what it takes. You as a player may be willing to do, but it's never been explained to you what it is you need to do. So you think you're doing enough just by showing up to your team practices, because you're like, well, I'm here all the time. I have teammates who miss, you know, 25% of our practices, or 50% of our practices, so I'm doing it right. And then you quit out of frustration because you don't get to where you want to be. You don't reach your goals. You don't become the player you think you're going to become. You don't develop as fast as you would like, because in reality, you aren't really doing the things you need to do to get there. Hopefully that makes sense. I know I'm kind of throwing a lot at you right there. You know me, I have a tendency to talk fast. And look, the other thing is too, if you're simply happy to be on a team and get some fresh air and exercise, and it's just becoming the best player you can become within that, in the time you're playing, and you don't necessarily have a bigger goal of college or even varsity, high school, or whatever, that is cool too, right? Just find a team that fits in with what you want. I mean, I think that may be the biggest team issue that I see with youth teams, is when there's too much of a split on one team of players who want to get to the highest level, even at youth, right? They want to win the conference. They want to move into a different league. You know, they want to play bigger tournaments. And then you have, you know, half the team or a third of the team that has no interest in that. They show up to team practices and they don't even necessarily work real hard in those team practices, right? So that's always a difficult thing too. And that's always going to be part of the journey and a very difficult part that you don't have complete control over. But as an individual, the key for you is to know what you do want. And then on your own, you know, figuring out or talking to your coach or talking to someone like me or your parents, figuring out what it is you're going to need to do to get there, right? I think that is one of the most difficult yet most important things you can do as a player. So I will urge you, if you have an idea of what you want, talk to your parents if it's something that they can help you with. You know, talk to your coaches if you have a good relationship with your coach or an understanding, or if you've worked with a trainer or you've had a coach that isn't your coach in the past, but you know it's someone that you can talk to about these things, because I think that is really, really important. And I did want to talk a little bit about Janie and Johnny and expand on that. That was an email I sent out the other day, but I'm going to skip that for now, save that for another one, because I rattled on for a long time on that topic. I didn't think I would do that, but anyway, you know, we've talked about the mental part of the game, confidence and so forth, and how important that is, how powerful that is in terms of your performance, right? Your mindset can make or break your performance. You know, I mean, put it into this situation. You've heard those four. Oh man, I didn't even think about how relevant this is now. And you look at what the U.S. women's team did recently, right? But you put yourself in that situation. Everything's on the line, right? It's PK time. You place the ball on the spot. You know, you retreat the number of steps you always retreat. You're in your routine. You take a deep breath, but you know, if you miss this penalty kick, it's over. It's over. Your team loses the championship game, or, you know, in the case of the women's team not that long ago, lose the World Cup. You're out. So no pressure at all, right? Piece of cake. You've got this. And what I find fascinating, and I think I've said this before in other podcasts on various topics about the mental part of the game, is every player at the highest level has the technical ability and skill to score on a PK. No problem. But not nearly as many have that mental ability or have that, you know, have that mindset to do it over and over in the most crucial, the most pressurized, the biggest moments in the biggest matches. They cave there. A lot of times you can see it in their face too when they're standing on that spot waiting. And so it's, how do you get that kind of soccer confidence? How do you get that mentality? Which is, you know, the million-dollar question. And I really wish there was a short, simple answer that I could give to you. But look, that's one of the reasons I'm writing a book on the topic right now, right? There's a lot to it. But it doesn't mean there aren't simple things that you can do that can make a difference. And oddly enough, I think one of the most important tips that I can give you about, you know, your confidence and your mentality in soccer is one that's almost never talked about, which is really strange. And I don't know if it's like a lot of people don't think of it as a confidence builder because it's part of the physical part of the game. That's all I can think of. And that's simply that you must prepare, right? Nothing builds confidence in anything you do like preparation. I mean, the more prepared you are, the more confident that you're going to feel. Preparation builds confidence. You know, there are a few different ways to look at this. This helps make it easier. If you're going into school to take a test, your confidence level is going to mirror how prepared you are for that material, right? How prepared you are for that test. If you didn't study at all, if you didn't do the homework, you know, in the month since the last test, if you didn't do any of the reading, if you didn't do any of, you know, it's math, you didn't do any of the math problems, you know, if you didn't study at all, your confidence level is not going to be very high, is it, right? Probably not going to have any at all. You're thinking, okay, well, you've resigned yourself to a D or an F or cheating off of someone else's paper, right? But the flip side of that is, if you know the material forwards and backwards because you did all the homework and the assignments, you kept up with the reading, you know, when your teacher returned homework, you went over the problems that you got wrong, right? You're going to be overflowing going into that test. In fact, the people who do that, they don't even really study the night before. What they do is they review because they already know the material, right? The people who study for hours, or, you know, what we call cramming, are people that really didn't do what they were supposed to do along the way. And that's the same that is true with your soccer, with your performance, with your technical skills. You know, I mean, if you're using something like impact total touch training, you're getting touches every day, you're going to be more confident automatically, right? If you're, you know, you did a conditioning program like Dominate Game Day. See, I'm throwing out these neat programs. It's pretty smart of me, isn't it? But really, you're doing a good soccer conditioning program. And you do that, you know, in the summer leading up to your, you know, preseason or start of your next season or whatever. You're going to be more confident going into those first few team practices than the players who didn't do any conditioning, but maybe, you know, sat on their butt for a month. Right. So, I mean, I think this type of preparation is one of the biggest things that's missing from youth soccer for you as players, that you as players, you don't get enough preparation work. You don't get enough ball work on your own. When you do have some off time, you're not doing anything conditioning wise. You're not doing, you know, strength or speed training like impact soccer performance. And I went into something like this the other day in the Facebook group where I talked about that type of training is so important that I really think all of you as players would actually develop better, develop faster, be better players if we cut back on your organized soccer. And this is what I mean, like stuff you do with your club, the, you know, the training, the whatever it is, cut back on that by about 25-30%, and you replace that with your individual athletic and performance training, you know, strength training, conditioning, speed, you know, your technical ability, your ball work and stuff like that, you'd be much, much, much better off focusing more on that preparation, you know, and going specifically to the ball work, you know. And I've seen this a lot with individual players I work with, teams I work with, just, you know, watching other teams, that players, when the rare times I actually see players working on individual foot skill patterns, they don't practice these things until they can do them in their sleep, like say a basketball player might, because they're always out playing. There's more of a pickup culture. So basketball players actually are out a lot on their own, a lot more in the US. But you know, soccer players don't do these things until they can do them in their sleep without thinking. They usually try a move or a pattern until they sort of get it and they're okay with it and they can do it like at least without messing up, and then that's it. They don't continue to pursue it. They think something like your basic foundations, you know, bells inside to inside, just right inside of foot, back to the inside foot, boom, boom, boom. They're like, because it's so easy to do without messing up, they don't work on getting better at it. But I'm telling you, if you took a quote unquote good 14-year-old player doing bells and, you know, Messi doing bells, you're going to see a huge difference, right? So there's a lot of room to grow in terms of the performance of something so simple. And there just simply isn't enough time at team training. You know, your coaches focus on bigger picture team stuff like positional play and playing out of the back and you know, things like that. So you on your own have to take the initiative to do those types of things, right? To practice until you can't get it wrong, as opposed to practice until you get it right once in a while. That's when you're prepared. That's when you're going to feel that confidence about your ability when you get into games. Does that make sense? And one thing I want to add about that, because I talk a lot about things that are really helpful to you, but take it too far, they seem like they can be the things that become a grind. And so it's also important that, even though I talk a lot about controlling what you control and how we measure and work on things for your development, it's also important to step back and look at the fun of it all and add big goals too, right? Why can't you be the next Rose? Why can't you be the next Ronaldo? Someone's going to be. I mean, why can't it be you, right? Sure, focus on controlling what you control. That's so important, but have some fun too. If you're putting in the work, there's no reason not to dream. I mean, shoot for the stars. You know, if you only hit the moon, that's good too, right? You got this. It's so important to be reminded that ultimately you play, it's not going to be fun all the time, but ultimately you play because the game is fun. And it's so important to remember that, because even players that do love the game, right, they're going to have those moments when they don't. You're going to have tough times that are going to happen. And as parents, you need to encourage and support them, but also don't let them quit easily. And as players, you need to understand that as well, that as much as you get into playing because you love the game and it's fun, even things we enjoy aren't always fun. And so while you'll have those tough times, there's also going to be times when you get into that zone, right? When you're on your outside, you're outside training on your own, and you're in the rain, you're working hard with the ball, you're not wanting to stop. You know, other people are looking at you like you're absolutely crazy, and you're loving every second of it. You have those moments with your teammates, whether it's, you know, you're out there in the pouring rain or the freezing cold at practice, and I'm sure you've had these times where, yeah, you're miserable. You've also had these times with your teammates where it becomes this incredible joy because you're in it together, right? You have this bonding experience, and you experience that in games as well, where maybe you're playing a team that's crushed you before, or, you know, you're just playing a game that's really, really not going well, and then finally something goes right and you build on that. And there's this joy in the game and this joy in these experiences with your teammates that are priceless. No one else is going to understand them, but to you, that they're priceless. So don't give up so easily and so permanently when it's going bad that you end up missing all this good that's coming, okay? Because you will have absolutely great times with teammates, whether it's at practices, in games, whether it's just, you know, playing a little pickup with only three or four teams or play, you know, players from your team or whatever it is. So, you know, the experience is going to be what you make it. I had some other things that I want to go through there, but I kind of got on a tangent a little bit there about the love of the game, but I'm going to leave it for now. There for now. Hopefully you're still listening. If you are, I really do appreciate it. I know this one has gotten kind of long. I'm going to leave it there right now. If you haven't checked out Impact Soccer Performance, go to impactsoccerperformance.com. That is all, you know, speed, strength, athletic training, Impact Soccer Performance / Impact T, the number 3, Impact T3. That's a 60-day ball training program. I'm going to leave it there for now. If you're listening on Spotify, if you could give this a rating, that would be awesome. We're up over 100 ratings on Spotify. What is Spotify? Spotify, I think it's a 4.7 out of 5. We got 51 ratings on Apple Podcasts. 50 of them are 5-star. One was a 1-star. But anyway, I'm going to leave it there for now. I'm rattling on at this point. It's good to be back. Thank you so much for listening. I'll talk to you later.